Isaiah 1:19, we know it from the King James. If you be willing and obedient, right, you'll eat the good of the land. Praise God. Say that out loud. If I be willing and obedient, I will eat the good of the land. Amen. The word good in the Hebrew means of the highest nature, most excellent of its kind. The most excellent of its kind. If you be willing and obedient, you eat the most excellent of its kind. How many of you know God doesn't want you to eat the good of the land and then wear the worst, drive the worst, live in the worst? He's talking about in all these areas of finances and provision. Now, God's interested in this. Sometimes, certain church groups, they kind of, they do. They get real critical of talking about finances. Well, then they're criticizing the Bible because the Bible talks about it. Actually, if you read it with an open eye and open heart, it talks more about it than anybody dare admit that it talks about it. They say there's more, I don't know, whoever they is. You know, if I say they, or if I say we, that's talking about me, my friend Oliver Sockwad. And Guggenheimer, that's three. Yes, that's we. But I don't know who they is. I know who we is. You can laugh. That's supposed to be funny. But anyway, people criticize this message. They say there's more scriptures in the Bible about finances than there are about many, many other subjects. So this is not a side issue with the Bible. Can you say amen? This is not a side issue with God. This is not something that, we shouldn't put our focus on. Well, no, we're not supposed to be money-minded. We understand that. But see, we're not going to be talking about money tonight. We're going to be talking about what the Word says tonight. See, that's the difference. Money-mindedness is doing something for the purpose of money. Being Word-minded is doing something. It is focusing what the Word says about something. And we ought to be word-centered, word-minded. Amen. Some people want to criticize preaching on finances, but they don't bring up any scriptures. Or if they do, they take them out of context, right? We need to be people who just are not interested in, just whatever they say, but what does the Word actually say? And the Bible says, Jesus made it plain. He said, the traditions of men make the Word of none effect. The traditions of men. And there's a lot of traditions of men. I found that the traditions of men were the main reason that I was struggling. I'm not saying I'm where I want to be, but I'm surely not where I was. And the traditions of men have bound up more people than the devil himself. Religion. Jesus said, he's talking to the Pharisees, he's talking to the most religious people of his day. He said, you get a hold of people and you make them twofold more the child of hell. Religion's twice as bad as just being a sinner and don't know anything about God. Twofold more. That's twice as bad. Twice as bad. You're in twice the bondage being in religious traditional thinking than you are just being out there as a sinner. You know why? Because in religious thinking, you think you're right. And it's doubly hard to get somebody the truth who thinks they're right. A lot of sinners, they know they're wrong. Right? Yeah, amen. Anyway, so Isaiah 1:19, did you find Isaiah 1:19? If you be willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Now listen to the Living Bible. I'm telling you, this is the one that just got a hold of me a couple weeks ago. Isaiah 1:19, Living Bible, if you will only, let me help you, if you'll only obey, then I'll make you rich. That's not a preacher that said that. A preacher didn't write that. God wrote that. God said that. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, what is rich? You look it up, it means a full supply. And we've been looking at scriptures that say, plainly, we looked at them last couple weeks, really. We looked at them, overabundance, more than enough, more than you can handle. Amen. Remember those scriptures? So we won't go over all those again, but you can go back to that and listen to that again. It's important that you feed on things, feed it into your spirit, not just give it one hearing, but feed things into your spirit. All right, so if you only let me help you, how many of you can see here God's offering his help? So many of his people are challenged in this area. They have struggles in this area. They have hardships in this area. And but then God offers his help, and they say, well, no, wait, I don't want to, you know, I'm not interested in money. Well, that's part of your problem. You're not interested in something God is interested in. How can two walk together except they be agreed? God is interested in helping us. He's interested in helping us. How many of you know he's a father? Just like if you saw your children struggling financially, I mean, that would tug at your compassionate heart, your father or motherly heart. Yes. And that's the way our God, our Father God is. He sees these things and he says, let me help you. Yeah. Let me help you. Don't keep me out of this area of your life. Let me help you. Amen. Right? Amen. He's offering his help. We don't have to do this on our own. So I hear, whenever I read this, I hear compassion. I hear a longing on the part of a good Heavenly Father. Right? Don't you hear that? If you'll only let me help you. I hear a longing. I hear compassion. I hear love. Amen. How many of you know love gives? Love helps. Right? And God is love. And so, you know, it's going to, I'm going to go back and preach some of the things that he started me out on when he started talking to me. Because I told you years ago, I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, help me. Yes. Help us. Yes. We're struggling. Yeah. I know it's not on your side. How many of you know that's the first step? You got to say, Lord, I know it's not on your side. Yeah. I know it's not on your side. It's on my side. And I'm not accusing you of not being, not being interested in helping me. The word says that you are, but you help me see what I was saying. Help me. I was not saying, Lord, put more money in my bank account. I was saying, Lord, help me to see what I need to see. Help me to hear what I need to hear, because obviously I'm hearing it, but I'm not really hearing it. Right? Because, you know, the word is a seed, and it'll produce after its kind. I should be seeing results, right? It's not right that I'm staying the same every year. It's just not right. That's, you got to get to the place to where it's just not okay anymore that you're struggling, or that you're staying at the same place, or staying in debt, or something like that. Are you still glad you came tonight? So I'm going to go back and preach some of the things that he started me out on in those early years whenever he began his work in my life along this line, Pastor Debbie and I's life. And so one of the things I want to kind of emphasize tonight is one of the first things he said to me. I told you, he said to me, well, your way's not working out, is it? And he was trying to get me into a place of humility, acknowledging. Yes, see, humility acknowledges it's not working for me. Yeah. My way's not working for me. Yeah. Humility says, help me. Yeah. It takes humility, because you can't teach a proud person who already thinks they got it all figured out. So he had to get me. So that's one of the first things he said, Lord, I could say, Lord, help me. And he said, your way's not working out, is it? He had to get me to acknowledge that. And I said, Lord, my way's not working out. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Whether you see it or not, that's a big first step. And then he said this, and this is what I want to spend time on tonight. He said, prosperity doesn't begin. You've heard me say it. I know you've heard me say it. But listen, you've eaten T-bone steak before too. Amen. He said, prosperity doesn't begin with more money in your pocket. He said, it begins when my word finds a home in your heart. Oh, that's so good. 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 It's so good. That's so good. That's so good. That's so good. You know what that does? It turns you from being money focused, because I was focused on the need, and he was saying, your help is over here in my word. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Did you know how good that is? Do you know how good that is? That's so good. I'm telling you, over here, it's so good. That is so good. That is so good. That is so good. That is so good. That's so good. We've got to have the proper honor for the Word of God along this line. Amen. We've got to properly honor it. Now, notice the way he said that. Notice he didn't say prosperity doesn't begin with more money in your pocket. It begins when you get my word. He said, when my word finds a home in your heart. Finds a home. I like the way he said that. In other words, the word needs to get real comfortable in you. Finds a home. You know, whenever you find a home, you get all settled in, right? You kick off your shoes, you put up your feet. It's your furniture. You can put your feet on your furniture. It's your refrigerator. You can go over to your refrigerator and get anything out of it. And guess what? If you invite me to your home and you say to me, make yourself at home.
Yes.
Do you know who you're talking to? Depending on whether how much I believe you mean that determines how I act. Right? I might say, I don't know you very well. I don't know what you mean by that. But if I know you real well, I might just say, hey, got anything in the refrigerator? Making myself at home means I have access to more than just the room you ushered me into and said, here, sit here. If I don't feel at home, I just sit here. But if I feel at home, make yourself at home. Me and my wife, we got to go out somewhere. We got to do something. Make yourself at home. Oh, you better watch the chicken left over in the refrigerator. Right? I might be wanting to study while you're gone, and I like to watch the outside whenever I study, so I might move your whole couch over by the window so I can lay down and read my Bible and watch the birds. You come home, your living room's rearranged because you said make myself at home. That's the way the Word needs to be in your life. It has access to every area of your life. Every area of your life.
Amen.
There's no area of your life you say, no, blah, 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 blah. See, prosperity is not just getting the prosperity word in your heart. How about the love walk in your heart? Every area of your life, your marriage, the way you treat people, every area of your life. And if it's got a home in your heart, it's comfortable there. And the word never wonders if it's going to be honored. Amen. So let's talk about this a little bit tonight. Would that be okay? Are you sure? Praise God. So that's what he told me. That's one of the first things, I think, first or second things he said to me. It doesn't begin with more money in your pocket. It begins with my word finds a home in your heart. Praise the Lord. So what he did by saying that to me, because see, whenever God says things like that, it's just as real today as it was back then. It's just as applicable to your life right now. So when he said that to me, I started meditating on that. And really, he was trying to tell me I had to get my focus on something else than money. I had to know what the source of it was. And it wasn't more money in my pocket. Come on, somebody. It was the Word of God, the source of divine prosperity. Now, there's other kinds, but the prosperity of fools will destroy them, right? I'm interested in the kind that can't be stolen, can't be taken from me because it's not of this world. And so he had to get my focus on something other than money. He had to get my focus on the truth. And he had to get my focus off of the lies that I had been religiously taught and that were binding me. Write this down. Don't ever forget it. Lies blind and lies bind.
Yes, they do.
Remember what Jesus said? John 8:32. You'll know the truth.
Uh-huh.
You'll know the truth.
Yep.
And the truth that you know,
yes,
will do what?
Make you free.
Make you free.
Yep.
Make you free.
Yeah.
If the truth makes you free, then lies bind.
Yeah. There you go. That's so good.
And there's no lie like a lie told in church.
Oh.
There's no lie like religious lies. It's cloaked in, you know, God, this is what God says. Amen. Well, scripture and verse, please. Where did God say that? Right? So, you know, when he said that, he had to, I realized as he began to work with me, I realized he began to point out lies that I had believed growing up because of the way people talked in church.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. The truth is your help.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The truth is your help. It's where freedom is.
Yes.
Now, you might look at some of the truth along the line of financial prosperity in the Bible, and you might go, ugh. You know, like bring the first to a storehouse or something that seems to be like, ah. No, wait. That's not binding you.
Come on.
Let me go over here. That's not putting bondage on you.
Amen.
That's not bondage. Is it true that you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free?
Yes, it is.
Amen. So never cringe at truth.
Right.
Never tense up. And go, that's gonna make it hard on me. No. He's helping you. He's helping you. The word. I'm not talking about people's ideas, but what does the word say?
Yes.
It's making you free.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you don't tense up whenever doing this is making me free.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so in a lot of people's minds, teaching on prosperity turns people money-minded. Or teaching on prosperity is an indication that someone is money-minded. Well, teaching the word doesn't turn you money-minded. It turns you word-minded. If I was up here giving, you know, success principles from, you know, some success guru out there, well, that'd be money-minded.
Right?
But when we teach the word, that's making us word-minded. It is wrong to be money-minded.
Yeah.
Well, somebody said, but what is money-minded? Well, that's doing things for the purpose of money. In other words, money is your focus rather than the word of God or what God said. Amen. I remember Jesus said to Brother Hagin, whenever he appeared to him one time, he said, he was talking to him about some other things. Jesus turned around and said another thing, because he had just given ministered to him the healing anointing. And Jesus turned around and he came back and he said another thing. He said, you shall make no charge for your ministry. I don't know if you remember this, but just receive free will offerings as you have been doing. He said, because many whom I've put such an anointing on have become money minded and have lost the anointing. Remember that?
Yes.
That's Jesus saying something. That's in line with the word of God.
Yes.
You know, God doesn't anoint ministers so that they can, you know, for the purpose of making money.
Right.
That's not the purpose.
Right.
Receiving free will offerings is scriptural.
Yes.
Right? But the purpose shouldn't be for money. The purpose should be, I like the way Brother Copeland says it. He said, I don't preach to get money in. He said, I get the word out. My focus is to get the word out. Not my focus is not to get money in. My focus is to get the word out.
Amen.
Get the word into people. Amen. And that's not being money minded. That's being message minded. It's the word minded. It's the plan of God minded. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're just rightly dividing some of these things. And so we're to be truth minded. We're to be word minded. We're to be plan minded. We're to be God minded. And that's to be our focus. Amen. Now, let me ask you a question. When in Luke 4, what did Jesus say he came to bring to the poor? Remember that? Spirit of the Lord's upon me. Remember? He sent me to preach. The very first thing he said, preach the gospel to the poor. Notice he didn't say, the Lord has anointed me to give handouts to the poor.
He didn't say that.
Right? Remember Luke 4? What is that? Verse 18, somewhere right there, verse 19. He said, the Spirit of the Lord's on me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Why didn't he come? Now, we do know from the scriptures, though, Jesus gave to the poor. That is a scriptural thing. We love doing that. Pastor Debbie and I love doing that, helping people out. But that's not what he said the anointing was on him to do. You know why? Because a handout is only temporary relief. It's not the cure for poverty. The cure for poverty is not something material. The cure for poverty is a message. Did you get that?
Yeah.
It's a message.
Yeah.
The gospel is a message.
Yeah.
Well, it's the message of him redeeming us from sin, Pastor. Yes, and it includes the message of redemption from all the results of sin. Whatever got in through sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. When we got redeemed from sin, we got redeemed from its results.
That's right. That's good.
And the gospel includes, remember, okay, let's go over there and look at it. Just because it'll make the devil mad. Just because. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and look what it says. No, it's the 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look at what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Y'all glad you came tonight? Verse number 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich.
Amen.
That's the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
That Jesus became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich.
Amen.
Just like, see, that language there is the same language as where it says over in 2 Corinthians 5 that he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And then the Bible where it says, by his stripes we were healed. We were healed. He took those stripes on him so we would be made healed. This is the same language just in the area of finances. He became poor that we might be rich. Somebody said, where did he do that? He did that on the cross. This is substitutionary language. He took something from us so that we could become what we could have what we lost.
Yes.
Redemption was him taking our place in something and giving us something that was lost in sin.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And one thing he restored back to us was prosperity.
Amen.
There's help for our finances.
Yes.
No wonder Deuteronomy 8:18 says he gives us power to get wealth. Power. That's not nuclear power. It's not brain power. It's Holy Ghost power. Now, I'm not against brain power. But you'll limit yourself just trying to do it out of your brain. You'll limit yourself. What God has in mind for you is way beyond what you can do by your brain. Praise the Lord. So, this verse 9, chapter 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. It's a verse about redemption.
Yeah. Amen.
Someone said, why don't you live in poverty? I don't believe in it.
Amen.
I don't believe in it. This verse makes me not believe in it. And about 1,000 other ones. Amen. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't believe in it. So if I don't believe in it, I would be a hypocrite to live in it. Praise the Lord. Some of you are just, the water's rising. You're about to. We're being slow. We're taking it slow. Praise God. So what about focusing on this rather than focusing on the lack you have? Focus on he was made poor that I might be rich. He was made. That happened in the past that I might be rich. That's true about me now. That's true about me now. Well, no, it says that we might be. Well, we don't apply it to the future over in 2 Corinthians 5 where it says he was made sin for us who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God. We have been because he was.
Yes, amen.
We are now the righteousness of God. And we are now rich. See, rich, you're not rich because you have assets in your name, in your bank account, or in your investment accounts, or whatever. You're not. That doesn't make you rich. What Jesus did made you rich. You're not rich because you have something in your name. You're rich because you have something in His name. And you got the use of His name. Everything you own, all your assets are in your name. And everything God gave Jesus is in His name, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All the assets of God are on deposit in the name of Jesus. And God gave you the use of that name. If a husband and wife get married, of course they're married. If they're husband and wife, they're married. But when two people get married, the wife takes his last name. And everything he has on deposit is in his name. And she can write a check on it. Right? Right? Well, God's given you a signed check and told you to fill in the blank. Well, that's a whole teaching. We've done that in the past, but praise God. So, that's why Jesus didn't come to hand money to the poor. He came with a message. The message is what He did for us in redemption. Amen. Hallelujah. People sometimes they think that their need is in the material realm. No, their need is in a message. They need a message. You know, when I say message, I'm saying it different so you get out of the rut. Whenever I say they need the Word of God, the Word of God. No, it's a message. It's what God says. It's a message of what He did for us in redemption. And so people think that their need is in the material realm. The real cure, the permanent cure for it is receiving a message. Or let's put it this way, what you do with a message. And there's a lot of people that despise this message. And that's why they struggle. Amen. Hallelujah. So by Jesus coming to them with the gospel, coming to the poor with the gospel, He was telling them that that's where their real help was. We have people call the church, would you pray or would you do this? And so, sometimes they need some finance and so forth. And really, we focus on helping people in the church. I'm not saying we've never given to anybody outside the church, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, when you get calls from the ministerial organization and say, hey, watch out for so-and-so. They're going around from church to church. They're a fraud. They line up five kids on the front row, and they'll just pull your heartstrings, but they're a big fraud. After a while, you get kind of onto some of this. But anyway, but see, people, and we have helped some, but we're mostly focused on people in the church. I mean, the Bible says you're to primarily consider those of the household of faith.
Amen.
We ought to be helping one another.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But those people, and we endeavor to, get it across to them that their real need is not finances.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that just doesn't register on a lot of people.
Yeah.
It doesn't register on a lot of Christians.
Right.
That the need is really a message.
Yes.
Not just hearing it, but getting a revelation of it. Praise the Lord. I know this is so simple tonight. When I left the house, I'm like, Lord, this is pretty simple. But I'm telling you, it's the simple things that's really where it is. And so He was telling them their real help was in a message. So what you do with the message determines what has access to your life. If heaven's words don't have access to your life, heaven's supply has no access to your life. God's words or heaven's words are His delivery system. Go over to Acts chapter number 20. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse number 32. Acts 20, 32. Paul's leaving some ministers that he was ministering to. It's kind of like a minister's conference. Acts 20, 32, and he said this right before he left. He said, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance, which is your inheritance in your Father, among all them which are sanctified. Notice the word is God's delivery system. The word does it for you. The word delivers it to you. The word gives it to you. The word tells you about it. The word informs you about it. The word renews your mind to it. Hallelujah. You weren't there when Jesus redeemed you from poverty, but God was, and he gave the Holy Spirit the words to give to us, to tell us all about what happened there when we weren't there. But that's what happened anyway. So the delivery of it is through words. It's able to build you up and to give you your inheritance. Amen. Everything in the kingdom of God starts with a seed, and the word is the seed. Or let's put it this way, the message is the seed. And so those words change our thinking, change our believing, change our perspective. They inform us of what God has already done. All right, now Isaiah 55:11. You're familiar with Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be. Remember, he said, my word will not return unto me void. But he said, as the rain comes down, the snow returns not thither, except it waters the earth, and may give seed to the sower and bread to the earth. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It'll not return unto me void. This is verse 11. Not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. The word has accomplishing ability in it. I cannot do this. Your way's not working out, is it? No, my way's not working out. But there is a message that will put the ability on you that will accomplish what you have not been able to do. Will accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Woo-wee. Will it prosper you financially? Yes. Well, it'll prosper any area that you'll plant the word. That word will produce something in that area of your life. Not you'll produce it. That word will produce it. Now, you have a part. You have a part to plant it. You have a part to water it. You have a part to do it. But it's not you doing it. It's you doing what the word says and the word accomplishing something as you do it. Woo, glory be to God. Words do it. Words do it. Words do it. Words do it. I said words do it. Praise God. You don't do it, the message does it. But you have to receive it into your heart. Praise God. Pastor Nancy was talking about this the other day. She said, she was quoting Dr. Bill Winston. And I don't know how it's going to happen, but there's a connection with him, with us. Remember I told you there was four men? He's one of them. He's one of them that it hasn't manifested much yet, but somehow or another, we're going to get my brother in here. Woo, man, he fires me up. Anyway, but he made this statement. He said, increase doesn't come by time, it comes by truth. Did you hear that? It comes by truth. What does he mean, doesn't come by time? Just because you get older doesn't mean you're going to get ahead financially.
That's so good.
Isn't that right? Just because you've been around a while.
Come on.
I've seen people been around their whole life and struggled. And faithful, good people, otherwise good people. And I'm saying they're bad Christians. I'm not saying they don't love God. They'll go to heaven just as quick as we will. You know what I'm talking about. Love God, good people, good character, good witness, share Jesus, good, you know, good example to others, but yet struggle in this area.
Come on.
Amen. But it doesn't come, and they just stay there. But it doesn't come by the passage of time. It comes by truth. That's a good statement. Hallelujah. You can't. It's not just being around money. It's being around truth. You got to learn to hang out with the truth.
Yes,
there's some people, I just want to hang around people that are rich. That doesn't cure poverty.
No,
What cures it is the gospel, a message, a something that's going to renew your mind, change your thinking, or change my thinking. Amen. Hallelujah. What you spend all your time around tells you what you think your source is. Amen. Well, I just can't get to church. I got to work extra hours. I need more money. I can't come to church. That you're saying that's your source. Amen. If the word is your source, you make sure that your spirit is well fed on the word. And you don't let anything get between you and that. Amen. Praise God. So if you think wrong, remember he said this, I'll quote him again. He said, increase doesn't come by time, it comes by truth. If you think wrong, passage of time doesn't make you think right. Something has to confront that wrong thinking. Something has to confront small thinking. Right? And so everybody thinks their, thinking is fine until it's confronted. There's been things that especially when I went to Bible school, I went to Rhema Bible Training Center right out of the denominational church. I didn't know I was supposed to renew my mind with the Word of God. What's that all about? Renew my mind? Well, I think right. I'm a Christian. Right? And so I'd sit in class. First class, first day, first hour, first part of the year, Christ the Healer. And the instructor stood up and I thought, what was it, 12 weeks? Were those classes 12 weeks? We've got some Rhema grads in here, something like that. And so he said, okay, this class is called Christ the Healer. We're going to be studying the healing ministry of Jesus in the church today, how it's still, still continuing, just like it did when he was walking the earth. And I said, 12 weeks on healing? There's not really much in the Bible about healing. That tells you where I was when I went to Rhema. I don't know why I was saying that, but anyway. So we all think we think right. We don't think until our thinking gets confronted with a truth. And I'll never forget sitting in that class. It's like, oh, I mean, he's just going to simple verses. And I'm like, oh, well, I didn't know that was in the Bible. And that was, I should have gotten a button that said that and I could push it. I didn't know that was in the Bible. So I wouldn't have had to say it so much. Should have put it in on my desk. That I didn't know that was in the Bible.
Come on.
Turn to scripture so and so and so and so. Boom. I didn't know that was in the Bible. See, until you're confronted with truth, you don't realize how much wrong thinking you're in, wrong believing you're in. Right? And that's why we need to do a series along this line. Because God's kind of prosperity doesn't begin whenever more money in our pocket. It begins when the word finds a home in our heart. And that word has accomplishing ability in it. It has the ability to cause itself to come to pass. Hallelujah. And so, we all think right until we're confronted with the truth. Right? I said, we all think right until we're confronted with the truth. Amen. We are all humdingers in the word until we're confronted with something we didn't know was in there. Praise the Lord. Well, somebody say he's preaching better than your amen. And so if you think wrong, it's not the passing of time that makes you think right. It's being confronted with the truth. And so what we do when we're confronted with the truth determines whether the word has access to our lives or not, which determines whether God says, if you'll only let me help you. His help is in his word. That's his help. I know this is simple, but this is what came to me. Hallelujah. And so If think about that statement that Dr. Bill Winston said, increase doesn't come by time, it comes by truth. If that's the case, if it doesn't come by time, then it doesn't have to take long either. Well, you know, it takes, you know, a lot of years to get a lot of investments built up. I'm not preaching against investments, and compounding interest is one of your best friends.
Hey, come on.
So I'm not preaching against, you know, against compounding things and over time. You need to start young. You know what I'm talking about? But I am saying that's not your source. If you get down and busy with the Word of God, this can happen in a hurry. Doesn't have to take a long time. Praise God. How serious are you? How interested are you? I said, how interested are you? I'm asking. How interested are you? Answer that in your own life. How interested am I in this? If we, you know, waste and lose a lot of time doing a lot of things, attention on a lot of things, then it'll be slow.
Come on.
We give some time to the Word, but it's just kind of, you know, whenever we get time, it'll be slow. But if we get with it, it can happen quick. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If it's not based on time passing, if the Word is your source, then you can do something about the speed at which this comes to pass.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Are you still glad you came?
Yes.
You can go as fast as you want, and you can stay broke as long as you want. Amen. If you're not advancing at the rate that you want to advance, advance the rate at which you grab the truth. Grab it. Grab it. Get a hold of it. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're not satisfied on the inside, then do something different with the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. The truth feeds your faith. And it renews your mind. It makes us think right. That's what people don't realize when they're struggling, that it's not a money issue. It's a truth issue. How much truth has found a home in your heart? Little truth, little prosperity. Great truth, great prosperity. I'm not just talking about getting it in you, but doing something with it. You understand. Hallelujah. It's not a money issue. It's a thinking issue. It's a truth issue. It's what's dominating your inward man. It's what inner image you have of yourself. Does that register with you? Do you identify yourself in 2 Corinthians 8, 9? It says that Jesus made you rich. Are you rich? Well, I don't have, I got this much in this bank account. No. That's not what changes your inner image of you being rich or poor or. Amen. The inner image has to change to be formed by what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. That's what the Word started doing for me. I started seeing myself as loaded. Oh, don't use such words in church. That's in your Bible. He daily loadeth us with benefits. I'm loaded. Man, I'm not going to go back to that church. They just think about being loaded and all that. Well, if you only knew you were loaded. That has to dawn on your inner man. Amen. That doesn't dawn on you because you've got something out here that says, wow, look, I'm loaded. Amen. See, people want this out here to change so that this in here can change. The Word does it in reverse. It changes this in here, which will affect out here. The Word is your source. This out here is not your source. Hallelujah. Now, let's wrap this up by saying this. Oh, my goodness. Where'd the last 20 minutes go? All right. So let's say this. When it comes to prosperity, you can't treat the Word as unimportant. Go over to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the 13th verse. Say that out loud. When it comes to prosperity, you realize that's concerning anything, but when it comes to this, since we're preaching this, you and I can't treat the word as unimportant. Amen. What I mean by that, you're turning to 1 Thessalonians 2. What I mean by that is, I got needs, Pastor. And you're just up there telling me what the word says.
All right.
I need help. Don't you know I need help? See, you're not connecting yet what your source is. You just want relief, a little something in your account to relieve you. And that's only a temporary fix. I'm giving you a message, or let's rephrase. God gives you a message to change what keeps making poverty hang around. Praise the Lord. Let's see how big the services get on Wednesday nights. All right, 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. Are you still glad you came? I have needs, Pastor, and you're just up there talking about how important the word is and so forth and so on. Well, you haven't got it yet. Amen. The truth is huge when it comes to prosperity. So, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Paul's talking about the church of Thessalonica when he went there and preached. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. What did they receive? They received a message. Isn't that right? And that message effectually worked. Now, if you look up the word effectually worked in the Greek, it literally says to be active or mighty in power. Actually, to put forth power, miracle power at work. He said they received the word, not as it was the word of a man, but as it was in truth the word of God, which had power in it, and because you received it with such honor, and to you it was so weighty and so important and so valuable, and you treasured it, and you honored it. This is not a man saying this. This is God's word. He said it worked for them. Some people hear the word all different. They hear it with criticism. Jesus talked a lot about money. You can read his parables. You can read what he's talked about. He talked a lot about money. One time he talked about money, and the Pharisees, who were, the Bible says, who were covetous, derided him. In other words, he was the first preacher that got criticized for preaching on money. The religious people criticized him. That's in Luke 16, I believe. Luke 10, is it? Luke 10, I believe. Luke 10, where I believe it's Luke 10. If I'm wrong, that's the second mistake I've made this year. But they derided him. In other words, they got talking about because he said you can't serve God and mammon.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And they derided him. That means they spit out their false teeth, went out and talked about him, criticized him, told people don't listen to that. That's just a bunch of baloney. Amen. And Jesus. In other words, they heard it, but they didn't mix faith with it. Why? Because they didn't believe it was God's word. Is it Luke 16? Luke 16. First what? 16:14. They didn't really receive it as God's word. Amen. No offended man is believing what God said. Remember Mark 6, where Jesus' own hometown, could there do no mighty work? And we've got three things that we find. We find offense, we find no honor, and we find unbelief. Those are triplets. And they're joined at the hip. They're co-joined triplets. In other words, where you find one, you're going to find the other. Where you find no honor for what the Word of God says, you'll find unbelief. You'll also find offense. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If it's in the Word of God, nobody can offend me out of it. No critic on YouTube talking against Kenneth Copeland can talk me out of it.
Come on.
Oh, did I actually hit the did I actually say that?
Come on.
You need to turn it off.
Yes, absolutely.
Turn it off.
Yes.
Well, I want every side of the story. The Bible said, guard your heart. Guard your heart. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? Well, it preaches against covetousness. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so do we. See, just because we're talking about the Word concerning finances doesn't make us covetous. Amen. Well, that's, I'm out of time. But anyway, all right. So they honored it. Amen. This is how people of faith handle the Word. Do you get that? The way these people handled the Word, they valued it as if it was God Himself speaking, and it was. Paul was bringing the message of heaven. So this is the way people of faith honor, or this is the way the people of faith handle the Word. Amen. So the Word has to carry weight with you. It has to be real weighty. It has to be final authority. It has to be, we want to find out what Dr. So-and-so thinks and what Brother So-and-so thinks. It's not about what any of us think.
That's right.
Well, I have a right to my opinion as much as you have a right to yours. No. You don't have a right to your opinion. I don't have a right to my opinion. I have an opinion about some things, but sometimes the Word blows holes through it. Absolutely. I'll tell you one that I had for a long time. Well, this just isn't that important. That was my opinion.
All right.
But that's not what the Word says. Jesus died to get this to you. Does that elevate how important it is? So, anyway, but that so when the Word is real weighty with you, you begin to become... Now listen to me, I know some people don't like this, they don't like this, they don't like it, but this is what the Word says. They become very narrow-minded.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to be narrow-minded. The Bible said, broad is the way that leads to death, and narrow is the way that leads to life. You got to become narrow-minded. I don't mean, I'm talking about whatever the Word says, that's the way I think about it. Amen. So when the Word holds great weightiness in your life, it is being given greater influence and will have a greater impact on your life. Amen. When you are honoring the Word, you're giving it authority in your life. You're authorizing it to speak into your life. You know, people that don't honor their spouse or someone, don't honor authorities or, spiritual leaders or someone, they don't honor that. That means they can't speak into their life. Right?
Yes, sir.
Honor is giving someone the authority to say some things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know what the Spirit of God said to me this morning whenever I woke up? He said, there's some things that were said by the Spirit over this pulpit, some to the whole congregation and some to individuals by inspiration of the Spirit, that they did not give enough heed to. Amen. I'm just telling you what he said. And that's not a rebuke. It's something that he's trying to remind us. Remember what the Holy Ghost said. Remember what the Holy Ghost said. Because he's really, that was his help. That was his help. Amen. He's just trying to help.
Yes.
God's good like that.
Yes.
He wants to help us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So when you give honor to the Word, that means you give it authority in your life. That means you do something with it.
Yeah.
Amen. Matthew 7:6, you can't, remember he said, don't cast your pearls before the swine. He's not calling us swine, but he's saying, don't cast your pearls before those. Like a pig doesn't have the ability. You throw a rock in there.
Yeah.
You know, little rock. Throw a rock in there, stomping in the mud. You throw a pearl in there, stomping in the mud. He can't tell the difference between a rock and a pearl.
Right.
But a rock doesn't have near as much value as a pearl. He says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't cast your, when he says pearls, the precious spiritual truths of God's word, don't cast them before people that don't have the capacity to value it. To say, wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that was in the word. That's a whole different heart of, well, we don't believe that down in our church. I mean, that sounds like that prosperity message. Are you open to the Bible, or are you open to just what you think?
Come on. Yeah, amen. Come on.
Praise God.
Oink, oink. I'm not trying to be. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but we're trying to help people. Amen. Let me ask you a question. He said, don't you cast your pearls before swine. That tells us that he won't either. He's telling us to do something that he won't do. I mean, excuse me, he's telling us not to do something that he won't do.
Right.
If he tells us not to do it, then he won't do it. In other words, there are precious spiritual truths. Unless we can value it and honor it and take it and give it weight and say, man, I'm going to hold on to this. I'm not going to let this go. I'm going to meditate on this. And so forth. Unless we can do that, it's not precious enough for him to share it. That's an amazing thought. There are things that he's not shared with me yet. Probably something he hasn't shared with you yet. That you're not able to hear it yet. I'm not able to hear it yet. If I could hear it, he'd share it. But if he shared it right now, it'd be or offense, or I've heard that before. Oh, there's an indication of dishonor. Oh, he's going to preach on prosperity. I'm not going tonight. I need something else. I need healing. He's going to preach on prosperity. I've heard that before. Sounds like dishonor to me. Doesn't it sound like dishonor to you? I'll close up with this. Those that value more get more. Amen. Boy, there's so much along this line in the word. But there are times, I know the Spirit of God's been dealing with me about a particular situation where some people were ministered to, and there's no indication whatsoever that they heard it. I asked Ann, I said, wasn't that ministered by the Holy Ghost in service? She said, yeah, twice. She said, you pointed them out twice. I said, I thought so. But if I went by them, they didn't even know I did.
All right.
There was no, Pastor, I heard what the Holy Ghost said. Can I sit? I want to talk to you about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That really hit me that I'm not following the plan of God.
Come on, sir.
Yeah. Chirp, nothing.
Wow.
Peep, peep, nothing. No, they act like they didn't even hear it.
Okay.
That's dangerous.
Yes, it is.
Not giving heed to what the Holy Ghost is saying.
Yes, sir.
I said, that's dangerous. Well, we're doing real good. Yeah. Right now. Tell your neighbor he's preaching pretty good. The Bible says that Esau despised his birthright. How many of you, in your thinking, if somebody said, so-and-so despises broccoli or whatever, they just despise, you would think, this is what despise means. Oh, I can't stand it. Get it away from me. It just stinks. And so with that definition, let's go back. Not tonight, we won't, but in our minds, let's go back and remember the story of Esau who despised his birthright. Did he say, oh, this birthright, I'm so mad. No. No, he just failed. Remember the story? He was hungry, came in from the field hungry, and his brother was making, I don't know what it was, soup. I mean, it was split pea soup or something. I don't know what it was. And boy, I'm telling you what. He was hungry, and he said, give me your birthright, and I'll give you some. He said, I'll give you my birthright. For a temporary natural satisfaction of his hunger pains, he gave away the blessing of the firstborn's inheritance, which was a double portion of everything his father had.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. Come on. Yeah.
Wow. Did he despise it like we think? Broccoli. No, he just failed to see the value of it. So some are, in our definition, let me put it this way. God's definition of despising is different than our definition of despising. Oh, I can't stand that prosperity message. Well, you despised it. Or, I'm not going to listen to that. You just despised it. Well, I don't know why I'm struggling. Dishonor.
Yeah. All right.
Dishonor for heaven's message.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Come on.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, that was my introduction. All three of these services, I've not got past much of my introduction. But thank God for the word anyhow. Stand with me to your feet. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many have ever sat in some of these services and something jumped at you? Something was spoken, you know, it wasn't just me sharing a truth. It was the Holy Ghost saying, that's for you. Or even though maybe I didn't say a particular thing, the Holy Ghost said something to you. Maybe not exactly what I said, but what he said to you. That happens, right? How many of you know that we are to value those things? That's our help. That's our help. How many of you know that one way we show how important it is to you, to us, or how weighty that is with us, is we don't forget it.
Yes.
And one way we don't forget it is we write it down.
Yes.
To fail to write it down is, it can be an indication of not properly honoring it. I'll tell you, there's so many things that if I hadn't written down, it would have gone past me and I'd have forgotten the rest. But when I write them down, I'm just meditating on it. Something later, and I come across that note, I'm like, oh, yes. Yes, he did. He said that to me. I remember that. How many of you have ever done that?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's one way to show how important something is to you, that you do something so you don't forget it.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It shouldn't be that 90% of what's preached goes in one ear and out the other.
Right.
That's not honor.
That's not honor.
Amen. If I said, I got a tip for you, by the end of the week, it'll make you $1 million. What would you do with it? You'd get busy after service and forget about it? No, people would be saying how you go, I'll see you later. I'm going home. I'm going to get this thing in action right now. Right? Do that with the word.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You know, the memory of something doesn't feed your faith.
Yes.
Just remembering it. I mean, just you got to feed it and meditate on it, absorb it into your being, think about it, and let God talk to you more about it. When it jumped in your spirit in the service, that's God saying, hey, follow this rabbit trail. I got some more I want to talk to you about this. Amen. Praise the Lord.